Welcome back to Insight. We're live on CAP Radio. I'm Beth Ruyak. When the new federal census is complete, California will have to redraw the maps of its districts, meaning there will probably be changes to congressional, state senate, state assembly, and state board of equalization districts. This redrawing law goes back to Proposition 11, the Voters' First Act of 2008, and the state auditor's office, which is independent and nonpartisan, chooses the people for the 14-member group. And that group decides the changes. It is the Citizens Redistricting Commission. If you want to join the commission, this is the time to apply into early August. We're going to cover those details in the conversation. But let me introduce California State Auditor Elaine Howell. She's in the studio. Welcome to Insight.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks so much for being here today. There is controversy surrounding the upcoming census. So let's start with the relationship between the census and the work that's done in California in redistricting.
Sure. The census is critically important to the Citizens Redistricting Commission. It is the primary data or information. They use other information as well, but the census is the primary information that Citizens Redistricting Commission needs to understand where people are in California so that they draw lines and districts that are fair, fairly represent the people of the state.
So there is one citizenship question in particular that's at issue. California is among the states and groups that have filed a lawsuit against that. It's working its way through the courts right now. What is that doing to in any way inhibit or interfere the work of the commission and the work through your office?
Well, right now, the work my office is doing is trying to encourage people in California to apply to become a member of the Citizens Redistricting Commission. The commission has to be fully formed by August of 2020. So hopefully some of the census litigation is resolved by then, because, again, as we said, the having accurate census information reflecting all of the people in the state of California is critically important to the commission.
And just as a side note, you're expecting thousands of applications, aren't you?
We're hoping for thousands of applications. In the first process we did back in 2010, we had over 30,000 people submit initial applications, and then it dropped down when we asked for supplemental information, but it was still close to 5,000 people applying.
Ultimately going down to how many?
Ultimately, you end up with 14 commissioners. So it's you know, tough odds to become a member of the commission, but it's such critically important work that the commission needs to do.
Okay, back to the point that I was trying to make about the census. We've had a decision that's been announced today from the Supreme Court regarding a Virginia case. The court didn't particularly rule if this was a gerrymandering case or not. But I think we have to define gerrymandering and the issue with redistricting to get back to what the commission will do.
Right. And that's what Prop 11 was all about. It was a lot of citizens and different interest groups coming together saying gerrymandering was happening in California like it happens in a lot of other states.
Which means toying with the boundaries of districts to skew the votes.
Exactly. It was legislators essentially drawing district lines to protect their members, whether they were Republican members or Democratic members. They would draw district lines to make sure that their individual voters are in that particular district. And there were some really oddly shaped districts in the past. So the proposition was put on the ballot to take that process away from the legislature in California and give it to the citizens group.
I will tell you that there will be ongoing coverage of this Virginia case, which had to do with whether the delegates had a right to challenge a lower court opinion. So I'll kind of push that off to the side. If the census gets held up in any way, although we're told by many sources that it's not going to because of the citizenship question, does the work of forming the commission and being ready for the census change in California?
No. The process for establishing the commission, we're going to forge ahead with that. As I said, we have to have the commission established by August 15th of 2020. So they're ready to go, hit the ground running, because they only have a year to draw those maps. They have to have the maps drawn by August of 2021.
Ultimately, what happens? Tell me very specifically how the census information comes in, how these 14 people get together, and then what the tedious work is.
Well, I don't know exactly the process for the census information. Of course, the census is administered throughout the state of California, and people hopefully participate in the census because we need to know what the communities of interest, what the makeup of the state of California is. People have moved from different areas into the state. People have immigrated into our state. So that census information is critically important. But the commissioners use that information. And the last commission hired experts to assist them in drawing the maps. The primary work that the commission does is drawing those maps for all those districts you were talking about, but also hearing from people in the state of California. The commission back in 2010 traveled up and down the state, held public hearings mostly in the evenings, had public meetings on the weekends to really understand what people's concerns were with the existing maps, really wanted to share with folks what the census information was telling the commission as to what the district should look like. So that's really a lot of the work that they need to do. They need to understand and appreciate the diversity in our state. That's one of the requirements that was in the initiative when it was enacted or passed by the voters back in 2008. You have to have an appreciation for the diversity of this state.
What's the goal then in drawing what would be considered a good or fair district?
Some of the criteria is making sure that you're not breaking up communities of interest. So some of the district lines in the past completely split neighborhoods, and some folks were in one district as opposed to folks being in a different district. So communities of interest is particularly important, and that's really making sure that folks are fairly represented and that district line is drawn in a way that makes sense for that region of the state.
How do parties play into that? Not just Republican or Democrat, but third-party interests.
Sure. There's the no-party preference is a growing party in this state. There certainly are the two major parties, Democrat and Republican, but there are other parties as well. There's Independent, Green Party, Peace and Freedom. So those are all types of information that the commissioners need to consider when they're drawing those district lines.
Tell me more about 2010 and what difference it made under the Voters First Act. How did the process change? How is it more successful? And is that how you would characterize it, as successful?
It was a huge success. California's model is certainly being emulated across the country. There's really been a push for more citizens redistricting commissions. Ours was the first truly independent commission where people applied and had to go through a rigorous process to hopefully be selected. They weren't appointed by the legislature. They weren't appointed by judges, which occurs in a lot of other states. And what we have heard and learned from the commissioners, but certainly from the people of the state of California, there have been more competitive districts. Districts are more representative of communities of interest in California. So it really has been viewed as a huge success in our state.
If there are problems, whether they're technically considered gerrymandering or just complaints about districts, do they then come to your office?
No. Once the commission is established, we provide some administrative support until that commission is fully functioning. They hire staff. They'll hire an executive director. They'll hire experts to assist them in understanding how to use census data, how to draw maps. They did that in the past in 2010. Once they are fully established and they have the staff they need, my office is no longer involved. So if there are any concerns that are raised, it would be to the commissioners and to the commission itself.
If you are just joining us, I'm talking with State Auditor Elaine Howell. We're talking about California's Citizens Redistricting Commission. She has been appointed by the governor and will serve a four-year term. And now to that part that might have piqued some people's interest, which is the commission is in the process of forming right now. There are 14 spots, but you have opened the technology for people to apply for this. Let's talk about who and how people can jump into the process of applying for a position.
Well, we encourage all people to go to the website, shapecaliforniasfuture.auditor.ca.gov. And there's an initial application. That process opened last Monday, June 10th, and it continues through August 9th. It's a 60-day window. The initial application is very simple, should take 10, 15 minutes, name, party affiliation, some yes and no questions. And we really encourage people to apply, submit that initial application. And then subsequent to that, there will be a supplemental application. That one's a little bit more difficult. There's certainly a 30-day window to complete that application. And what we ask in that application are questions about why you want to serve as a commissioner, demonstrate experiences where you've worked with individuals who have differing views and you've had the ability to hear their views and perhaps change your position. We also ask for 3 letters of recommendation to be submitted on your behalf as a candidate. And then I have staff in my office, and this is all through the initiative, 3 individuals who serve as an applicant review panel. So once we've received all those supplemental applications, which will be by mid-September, this applicant review panel will have a difficult job. They have to review every single application, review them, and determine who they think are the most qualified individuals. Of those thousands that we hope to get, they will have to identify the top 120. And the way the process works is the initiative requires this 14-member commission to be comprised of 5 Republicans, 5 Democrats, and 4 individuals not affiliated with either of those 2 parties. They could be no party preference, Green Party, et cetera. So by February of next year, this applicant review panel has to identify 120 of the most qualified folks of all those who have applied, 40 Democrats, 40 Republicans, 40 not affiliated. Then what they will do is interview each and every one of those 120. All of this will be live streamed. Everything is out on the website, very transparent process. Ultimately, they have to get that 120 down to 60 individuals by May 15th of 2020. And then those individuals are sent over to the legislature. The legislature has the ability, the leadership, to eliminate some individuals from the pool, similar to a jury. So each legislative leader can eliminate 6 individuals. So ultimately, it could go from 60 down to 36. And then once those 36 names come back to my office, we do a random drawing of the first 8 commissioners, 3 Republicans, 3 Democrats, 2 Republicans. Then once those 8 commissioners are identified and determined, they will select the remaining 6, and they'll be looking for diversity. You've got to have rural representatives, urban, Northern California, Southern California. So those 8 pick the final 6. And as I said, the entire commission has to be established by mid-August of 2020.
Let me go through a couple quick answer questions, because there's a lot in there. Is there a minimum age?
Well, you have to have voted in 2 of the last 3 statewide elections. So that really does create a kind of a minimum age. In fact, when we've been speaking throughout the state, there are a lot of young people who are quite frustrated because they want to apply, but they can't because they say, I'm not old enough to have voted in 2 of the last 3 statewide elections. So that kind of establishes an age requirement.
Do you set a maximum age?
No, there is no maximum age.
Is this a paid position in any way?
There is a stipend that is provided to the commissioners for each and every meeting that they have. They also have all of their expenses paid for, all their travel, meeting requirements, et cetera. There is a budget that has been established through the budget process, and hopefully the budget gets passed soon. And it's upwards of $17 million, and that's based on some of the information the prior commission provided.
Where does the commission meet?
The commission meets throughout the state of California. I'm assuming they will be based in Sacramento. That's what the other prior commission did. But they will be meeting all up and down the state, have public meetings to provide folks the opportunity to have their own voice about what these districts should look like.
Are members of a previous commission able to apply again to be on this new commission?
No, we've actually gotten that question. It's a great question. My attorneys looked at that, and because they have already served on the commission, they cannot reapply to serve on this next commission. Once this new commission is established, the 2010 commission goes away.
How much time does this end up being in the commitment?
Well, and that's another great question. We had a lot of folks concerned that this may be difficult for me to do because I have a full-time job. The commission, the 2010 commission, was a mixture of some retirees, some folks who were full-time, had full-time jobs, high-profile jobs. One had her own law firm. So she was able to do it primarily because the commission can decide when they want to meet, where they have their meetings. Sometimes they were doing teleconference meetings. So it's an important responsibility, and there's a lot of work to be done, but it's absolutely possible to do it, even if you have a full-time job.
I'm talking with California State Auditor Elaine Howell. We will post a link to our website so that you can figure out how to jump into this process if you're interested in being part of this commission. It's clear that your office and you have a role in getting us to the point where we have the commission. In an ongoing way, how does your office stay involved?
The only thing that we do to stay involved is we keep apprised of if there are any changes to the requirements in the initiative. For example, the 2010 commission decided that some portions of the initiative could be changed or should be changed. It was specifically related to my office as far as the applicant review panel. Very minor changes. In the past, the applicant review panel had to be CPAs, and that really narrowed the number of individuals in my office that were eligible to serve on this panel. So they eliminated that, and they said, you just have to be an auditor with the state auditor's office for 10 years. So there are things that the commission, as they go through this process and learn there are better ways to do things, they can propose legislation and have some of the initiative change. But that's our primary responsibility.
I'm not sure you really answered directly earlier when we were talking about the risk of the census being held up because of the court challenge. But do you believe that that's a possibility? And if the census is held up, what happens to this process?
I don't know all of the answers to your question. I think it would be highly problematic if the census is held up, because that is critical information, and it is required. It's statutorily required that this commission use the census data, because that hopefully clearly reflects the population of the state of California and where that population resides, those communities of interest, as I said. I think if the census is held up, that's going to cause a major problem for the commission to be able to get these district lines drawn.
Do you have an opinion on the citizenship question and whether it in some form should be included in the census?
We usually don't take a position on whether or not, you know, something like that. I think our census in California and every state should reflect who lives in that particular state.
I do want to get back to the point about what's at stake here and the purpose of redistricting and how that translates to votes and lawmakers and decisions that are made in the state, because the process of choosing the commission can be a bit wonky, and so can the Voters First Act. But what is really hanging in the balance in this process?
What's hanging in the balance in this process is the future of the state of California. That's why we called our website Shaping California's Future, because if you think about it, once this commission established these district lines, congressional, state assembly and Senate and Board of Equalization, those maps exist for 10 years. So if you're looking at assembly districts, that's five election cycles for the state assembly, because they serve two-year terms. So this could have implications for who will be representing the people of the state of California for years to come at all levels, congressional as well as legislative and Board of Equalization.
Have you come up with some questions that a person should ask himself or herself about whether this commission is right when you consider whether you should join or not? What are good checkpoints?
There's a lot of information on the website, but certainly we're looking for people who are civically engaged and who really have a passion for our state and really want to make sure that the people of the state of California have a voice. These commissioners really do serve as the voice for the people of the state. We have a video on the website of the previous commissioners talking about what their experience was like and why they felt it was so rewarding. They acknowledge it was hard work, but it was one of the most rewarding things they've done, because they know about the implications and what they accomplished.
Any particular skills, any particular education level, anything like that required?
There are certain requirements in the initiative with respect to analytical skills. You have to have the ability to understand and work with a consultant to understand the census data and how that data can be applied and how it would be applied using the mapping, the ability to be impartial, as I said earlier, hearing different viewpoints. I think those who drafted the initiative wanted to make sure you have five Republicans, five Democrats, and four not affiliated. To approve the maps, you have to have nine votes, three from each of those groups. So one group cannot dominate the decision-making related to those maps and how they will ultimately ultimately be finalized. And then an appreciation for California's diversity. All of this is laid out in the initiative. These are the things that the drafters of the initiative were looking for. We have information on the website, frequently asked questions, the kinds of things that we're looking for. We have, we will have an example of the supplemental application on the website within 30 days.
Okay.
We certainly have the initial application up there, but people can get an idea of what those questions look like. And they really do tie to analytics, appreciation for diversity, civic engagement. Why do you have a passion for our state and caring about the future of our state?
So jumping in begins online with that online application.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Very easy to fill out. We encourage people to do so.
We do have a link. And again, we're talking about the Citizens Redistricting Commission. The application process stays open until August 9th. Thanks so much. It's a lot of ground to cover. But in terms of ways to become civically engaged, maybe something you've not ever been able to do in other arenas before, I think this is an intriguing opportunity.
Thank you so much for having me. And please, people out there who are listening, certainly apply. Go to the website, take a look. If you don't apply, you have the opportunity to still participate. We'll look for public comments. All of the applications will be online, so you will know. We have a tracker that identifies who's applied from various regions in the state. So we want as many people to be civically engaged, and hopefully those folks decide to apply.
That is California State Auditor Elaine Howell, and that link will be at capradio.org/insight. Thanks again so much.
Thank you for having me.
You're listening to Insight on Cap Radio. Thank you.